Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Tanny, let's go, buddy.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on The Score.
General manager of the Cubs, Jed Hoyer, joins us.
When you look at road records, you know, there's no positives there. We have to figure it out. If we don't figure it out, it's going to end up being the thing that sank us this year. We need to figure it out now.
Home run, Anthony Rizzo. And the Cubs lead 1-0. Cubs lead 2-0. 3-0. 4-0.
Schwarber drives one to deep center field. 5-0 now.
Bottom of the ninth inning, Cubs up 5-1.
Bouncing ball to short, charging is Bodie. Juggles it, no play. That'll be an error on the shortstop, David Bodie. Driven towards center, that's going to be a base hit. Ground ball toward the middle, going to be a tough play. It's a base hit off the glove of Knapp. It is now a 5-2 ball game, and the tying run is at the plate. Pedro Strop coming in. Ground ball toward the middle, that's a base hit off the glove of Knapp. And now it's a 5-3 ball game. Derek Holland comes in. Phillies have the bases loaded. And Bryce Harper at the plate.
Oh, my God. Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm.
Oh, my God. High and deep.
For a second, I thought I was dead.
Right field. And that ball is gone. Grand slam, Bryce Harper. The Phillies have come.
Look at Harper go around the bases. He's
sprinting.
How about that?
A remarkable come-from-behind victory. It's a stunned Cubs team that has been swept out of Philadelphia.
Thank you. That was great.
Just get to the playoffs?
That intro was depressing.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Let's do this. Finish the week strong. Mac and Parkin's on The Score. Mac back on Monday. Anthony Herron in on a Friday. This hour brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a used car? Search ContinentalMotors.com for the Continental difference. What's up, Anthony?
It's a dangerous question to ask on live radio without knowing the answer. Is everything okay with Mac? Is he good?
That is amazing.
Your laughter would indicate
he's fine.
At least all right.
He's at cottage in Canada. He's fishing.
Oh, okay,
this is a scheduled vacation.
Okay, good.
It's only funny because of who you're asking about, and he would say. It could be anything.
Could be anything with Mac, right?
It could be anything. But yes,
happy to hear that.
This was a scheduled
time off for
Mac.
That's hearing that.
That's amazing that wasn't communicated
to
you.
I wish nothing but the best for Mac.
Of course, we all do. But normally, like, you fill in on a lot of shows.
Right,
so you being asked to fill in.
Why are you being a penis?
My guess is you don't ask that when you fill in for Bernstein or Shep or anybody else.
It doesn't come up in the least as, hey, am I available? All right. What's the childcare situation? Let me ask the wife. All right, yeah, we're good. I'll be there.
But
no, there's not a lot of I don't inquire very frequently about what the deal is.
That is spectacular. Yeah, so Mac is fine.
All right, good.
And I wanted to follow up on something you said with Lawrence. You said if you're on a plane and there's another black guy on the plane, you guys give each other the head nod.
Well, really, depending on the region of the country, the nod is going to be something that happens 9 times out of 10 regardless, especially in scenarios where you are vastly outnumbered.
Sure.
So the nod's going to be there. But specifically on an airplane and confined space, then it's because the proximity is so close, you're likely going to nod.
And is it – because Larry David has a bit on this in Curb where he says it's the bald brotherhood. That they'll give it – not nod to someone else who's bald with, I see you. And so you're sticking it out. You're not going with the comb over. You're not going with the wig. You're not going with the hat. Right. It's just the, hey, you and me, we're in this flight together. That's what the nod is acknowledging?
Essentially, yes.
Okay,
you know,
I like that.
We both have a shared kinship without ever having crossed paths before.
Of
with
course.
The likelihood we will never cross paths again, but there's an understanding here that we are on a similar path, most likely.
That's something that we're missing out on.
Well, who is the we in that? I'm just to specify.
Just like a white guy.
Okay.
A white guy, right. A nondescript white guy.
Like of Jewish descent or
yeah,
anything
Yeah,
like
I'm Jewish, but I'm not like outwardly noticeably, you know, stereotypically Jewish. My dad converted, so with genetics, I'm not that way. But like,
right.
So yeah, that's something that I am missing out on in that way. I can't tell that someone else has scoliosis. I can't nod and be like, hey, we're part of the scoliosis club. It's not quite as cool.
Which I didn't realize because I did the, Lawrence and I filled in for you and Mac during the golf tournament.
Yeah.
Last week or week before last, so on a Monday.
Thank you again.
And very welcome. It was enjoyable. But I was making a crack about you and Mac, like, you know, swinging and missing and, you know, spraying them all over the place. Lawrence was telling me you're apparently an exceptional golfer.
Oh,
that was the way it was presented to me.
Exceptional is an exceptional stretch. I played in high school. I used to be able to shoot. You know, I was shooting in the 80s consistently when I was 14, 15.
Okay. So you know, wouldn't take down Brooks Koepka or something like that.
No.
But you can swing the sticks. You
yeah.
Game.
But then I had a bunch of back surgery and stopped.
That's what I came to with.
Stopped playing for the better part of 10, 11 years, just laziness, not having money, living in different places where I don't have like a group.
Oh, so it wasn't the physical issue?
No, for like a year or two, it was the physical issue, and then it was just not getting back into it.
Okay.
18, going away to college, getting interested in other things, and then a couple of years ago, trying to get back into it now that I'm back here and feeling pretty good and have some guy friends that I like to play golf with, have a little bit of discretionary income. So yeah, I'm getting back into it.
You work your core a lot? Is there a lot of core strength and stability involved?
No, but I should. I need to. I'm just, listen, man, I am, what you see is, this is au naturel,
baby. I don't need you to do any push-ups. I don't need you to do any curls. No push jerks.
You think I should be the planks?
You got to do some planks. You got to do a few sit-ups here and there. You got to do something to keep, if you're going to start golfing again and you have, I assume you still experience scoliosis? Is that something that ever leaves you?
I still have it, yes.
You shouldn't be golfing without having some sort of core stability be a part of your daily regimen.
Yeah, you're right.
I've got issues with L4, L5, degenerative disc coming out of my yin yang, man. And if out of anything I don't train anymore, my core is something. My trunk stability is a huge part of my, maybe not daily anymore, but at least weekly routine several times a week, because you know very well what it's like when your back does not want to function.
It's the worst. It impacts you in every way. And yeah, I need to be doing core strength and flexibility.
Yep.
And I do neither of them. So It's laziness, man. What is your trick to motivate people who don't like to? Because I mean, you're a football player, physical specimen. I imagine working out always came fairly easy and natural to you.
Working out was enjoyable.
To those of us who don't, you know, Chef's training for the marathon. He's talking to me about this runner's high.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not the type of high that I am familiar with. So how do you train or tell people to get over that hump that don't know how to do it? Because I've never once enjoyed working out. I've enjoyed exercise if it was fun, playing pickup basketball with your guys, like you know, like playing sports, that sort of thing, of course. But I've never enjoyed going to the gym or stretching or doing something strictly for exercise.
Well, the vanity is part of it as well. You know, there's a certain physique that I like to feel like I can walk around with and fill out a shirt in the way I'd like to fill out a shirt and not necessarily have my stomach hanging over my belt in a manner that I'd rather not. So, you know, just leading with that, there's a level of vanity that goes into it, especially because I love food also, and I'm naturally a big guy, of course, but I was never naturally as big as I was when I played football. So at this point, I'm walking around a good 40 pounds lighter than I was
pounds,
at my
wow.
heaviest. Yeah, so I mean, I got up to 295 at a certain point. And I would have even, when I was playing like three technique with certain teams in Green Bay and Atlanta, I was playing some three technique with both those squads. And I did everything I could to try and get to 300 pounds. I've never been 300 pounds. And at a certain point in my life, I just gave up on that pursuit. But 295, 290, 295, that range was enough to try and get by with what I needed to do.
Three technique. It's something. It's a newer type of situation.
Yes, it's very new in the parlance of football if you've never heard the term before. But for me, being on the interior of the defensive line, I wasn't naturally massive enough to do. I wasn't one of these 350-pounders just two-gapping everybody, slinging bodies every which way. That wasn't part of my game. But getting as big as I could, my heaviest was 295. Now I lurk in the mid-250s somewhere. You know, if I go a couple of days where I'm eating a lot of seafood or something like that, then maybe I'll dip even lower in the 250s.
You're looking good, man. You're looking cut.
I'm doing what I can with it. But for me, beyond just the cosmetic end of it, my back issues are the main motivation for me at this point. I've got bad knees, bad back, bad shoulders, all the other stuff. But my joints are a big motivation for me. So if you're someone who walks around in no pain on a daily basis, I envy you because pain is a part of my existence. But just in general, to know what it's like to have a part of your body not function and to be in extreme pain for it and because of it, then I would hope that would be plenty of motivation to say, you know what, especially if there's activities that you participate in that will force you to be writhing in pain yet again, you need to stay on top of that.
You would think.
That's the public service announcement on behalf of your parents.
Now, I really appreciate it, and I've had plenty of instances in my life where you would think it would get my lazy ass into a gym or onto a yoga mat or something like that, and it hasn't happened yet. So I don't know. Hopefully one day I'll become an adult.
You're going to pay dearly for it.
You're right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Yeah. So I got to get my ass in gear. This has been a depressing start to the show about just how lazy I truly am with everything other than media work.
You're wearing a great T-shirt. Just think if you had some pecs filling that T-shirt out and like some great shoulders that were all just rippling through.
I'm already married.
That would be fun.
Who am I doing that for?
That'd be fun.
It would be fun. Yeah. I've never been able to feel physically imposing in any situation in my entire life.
And you're a fairly tall guy.
I am tall.
You're way above average height-wise. Just think if you had a few veins rippling out of those biceps to go with it.
I just don't know. It's such a foreign thought to me. The idea that I could be intimidating in a physical situation to anyone is so foreign. It's like, maybe you could speak Mandarin and then all of a sudden become a surfer. Like, I'm as close to doing that as I am to being physically intimidating.
I have surfed. I've surfed on two occasions, and I can't swim. That's the weird thing. I'm a grown man who cannot swim.
I don't want to get into stereotypes with that, but you should be able to swim.
I am central casting for the black man of an urban environment who cannot swim. That is definitely me. But I do have my son in swim classes right now.
Good for you.
My wife signed him up for swim classes with the impression, well, at least I got the impression when she signed him up, that this would be an activity we could participate in together, i.e. I would also learn to swim while doing it. Now, my son's a one-year-old, so there's only so much swimming one-year-olds are going to do.
Right.
So what I've observed during these classes is that it's really just me holding my son above the water while he screams in my face and lights my eardrums up. Weird thing is, he loves the ocean. He loves recreational pools just as we're kind of hanging out in different places. He hates these classes where there's just other kids of the same age doing the same activities, and they're all just screaming nonstop. And it's supposed to get them comfortable in the water. It's a torturous activity having them in the pool at the same time. Part of the problem is that the water's kind of cold, so maybe that's the issue.
You got to just dunk them and then bring them back up and show them that
you're not qualified to give parental advice.
No, I'm great in the water.
Are these the life skills you were going to tell me about?
I'm telling you, great swimmer.
That's probably the problem you were going to solve.
Yeah, well, no, I got a different problem for you that I will solve for you because clearly I'm
water
very qualified.
Waterboard your son, and believe me, he will be comfortable.
It's not
in
water.
The water.
Listen, man, trial by fire. If you just hold them the whole time, you're looking at Bishop, right?
Above the water, yes.
Yeah. Heads above the water. Uh-huh. Bishop. Okay, one, two. And then you just do that. You bring him under, you bring him back up. His eyes will be like, what the hell happened? And he'll be scared, and he'll cry for a minute, and then he'll realize that he's fine. And then you do it again, and he'll cry for like 10 seconds, and then he'll realize he's fine. And then on the third time that you dunk him under, he'll be laughing.
This is how you learn to swim.
My dad just literally threw me in a pool.
I hear those stories, and it sounds so implausible because I sink like a brick.
Oh, I sank?
I don't understand it. So then what did you do? He eventually came and got you and resuscitated you?
He picks you up, and then you're in the water, and you realize that you lived, and you're fine. I'm telling you, man.
These life hacks and more are available in Danny Parkin's class, How to Build Trust Issues 101.
I'm going to be a great parent. I'm telling you. You can't swim, yet you surfed. That's an incredibly brave thing.
I'm not afraid of the water. I'm just not good at it. It's not a skill I've ever attained. That's the problem.
But what if you fell off the surfboard and now you're in the ocean?
I'd be in very deep trouble. I know I do. I fall off the surfboard repeatedly. When I've done it, I got the foot strapped to the board, you know, like they do in the movies. So the board is my flotation device. I go under the water. I take the big majestic swipe with my arms. just enough so my lips come above the water enough where I can suck a little bit of air in, and then I bring the raft close, or not raft in this case, the surfboard close enough where I can grab that and get back on top and then paddle my way back to the shore.
I don't mean this, like, do you think you're the only person ever who has surfed without being able to swim in an ocean? That just seems so unsafe to me.
It's
you got to go out fairly far.
There's usually a sandbar involved is the thing. I've done it. The two times I've done it have been on Hawaii. I've done it once on Kauai and once on, I think, Maui was maybe the other time. But it's, you know, a sandbar that gets you far enough away from the shore where you can catch a current coming in. As the current comes in, you can catch a wave. I need a fairly sizable board to be able to stand up where the board just doesn't completely sink into the water. As long as I got a big enough board, I can ride some waves in. Problem is, at my size, you need kind of the right board. So I've had to, like, go in, get a different, bigger board because they're not used to humans of my size trying to surf, apparently. And then once I go back out and get that, I can ride a few waves in. So I'm not, like, out way in the deep of the ocean, but just high enough where it's, you know, deep enough. Maybe it's like 9-10 feet of water. If my feet touch the bottom, I push back up and then kind of do what I got to do to survive.
Two more questions, and then we'll talk about something less ridiculous. Right? Are you wearing a life vest while you're doing this?
Surfing? No.
What if the ankle thing came unscrewed and the board went away? You would be in an ocean without being able to swim.
Very deep trouble if that ever happened.
Wow. That is an unbelievable risk you're taking.
One thing I used to want to do that I never got to do because I was over the weight limit is skydive. I don't have the urge to do that anymore, whether it's age, whether it's – I stopped wanting to do it before fatherhood, so I don't think it's the fatherhood thing. But my mortality is more apparent to me now than it ever has been because I don't want to skydive anymore. But surfing in the right atmosphere, right environment, and my wife can swim. She loves the water. I don't even like the beach. I don't like the feeling of sand in my toes. It's just not something I'm into. But the water itself I enjoy. I'm just not good at it.
Okay. Wow. This is going to be a lot of fun. I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk about the Cubs all day. I want to see if we can avoid talking about the Cubs the entire show
after last night.
Yeah, exactly. Anthony Heron's in for Mac. It's McNeil and Parker.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's on the score. This segment of McNeil and Parkins driven by Prestige Exotics. If you are planning a business trip, a wedding, or looking for the perfect ride for your child to arrive in style for homecoming, visit PrestigeExotics.com to rent your dream car. That's PrestigeExotics.com. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald and the 25th-ranked Wildcats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Season and single-game tickets on sale now at NUSports.com.
I think things pronounced prestige.
Prestige?
Like a soft G.
What did I say?
Prestige.
Okay.
Prestige Exotics.
Is that it?
Prestige Exotics.
Hmm.
Yeah. It was almost East Coasty of you. Like, Matt Nagy would probably pronounce it like you did. Prestige Exotics.
Well, prestige, it's prestigious. Exotics. You could be right? It's prestigious or prestigious.
True.
Prestigious.
Right, but
so
the,
in that way, it's a hard G.
Yes, but that form of the word in the promo you just read is prestige.
So it's a spider more than it is a snake.
Hmm. You were an English major, right?
I was. I was. Yes.
Well, I was a journalism major. So, you know.
So I went to the top English school in the country, and you
I went to the top broadcast journalism.
According
school
to you, I think folks from Missouri and
would
folks
be wrong.
In Northwestern would have something to say about that. Perhaps
they'd be wrong.
We apologize to all of you at home.
Yeah,
or even Arizona State has a nice little journalism program out there.
No, I mean, you know. They maybe have a nice little journalism school for the Pac-12.
For the Pac-12, of course.
Yeah.
That's the caveat. Right.
Yeah, of course. Right. Well, so tell me if you think I did this one wrong. The bottom of the hour is also sponsored by Hint Water. Hint is pure, still, or sparkling water infused with a variety of fruit essences, including watermelon, blackberry, and cherry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in your local grocery store or at drinkhint.com. Hint, mouthwatering water.
I respect the hard tea there.
Thank you.
It's not the direction I go with it, but I respect that you did it. It is the proper way to go about it.
So you
it.
Go hint?
No, hint water? No, just more like hint water. Like almost like a D sound instead of a T sound.
Hmm.
Just it's slightly more casual that way.
So I say the word important.
Ah, okay.
So that first T in important, I put a D on it unintentionally, and then occasionally someone will text in and say, "You're driving me crazy with how you say important." And I'm like, I'm not trying to. How I talk.
How about the Jersey crowd, though, that says important? It's three different words, important. That is nowhere near how the word is supposed to be said.
It's not even close. But yeah, going to school, I went to school with a lot of people from Jersey in like the post-heyday of the Jersey Shore. It was still going on. So yeah, lots of Paulies and the situations and Snookies. It was not great.
Have you spent much time at the Jersey Shore itself, though?
Basically none. One weekend.
Okay.
One time.
Supposedly, it's not as horrific as they make it look on that show, or made past tense look on. Is there still one of, like, is Snooki still has a show, right?
I think they're doing they're bringing it back, kind of like The Hills just did a relaunch of that show to recapture that claim to fame. I think there's something involved with that, but I don't really know.
That's the one that Cutler's wife was on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And she's on it again?
I don't think so.
No. All right. Well, I guess she's got her own thing. Or
she seems to be doing pretty well.
Yeah.
And Jay is doing whatever the hell he's doing.
Jay's being Jay.
Jay, God, why did he ever think about getting into TV?
No, you know what? I think he would have been great at it.
I think he would have been fine. But yeah. I mean, he made 9 figures, and his wife's got a great business, and he clearly enjoys just being a slob.
I don't know. Why is Peyton Manning like tooling around in the way he is? It's just fun. You know, it's a fun industry.
Yeah, but Peyton Manning strikes me as Jay Cutler strikes me as a guy who absolutely could just sit on his back porch and look at his deer stand or look at the deer cams that he had up. Peyton Manning strikes me as a guy who would be very
busybody type. I hear you.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're right. Like, it's not necessarily about the money. Like, Chris Webber does the games on TNT. He made $250 million or something like that. So it's not just that. But yeah, Cutler just seems like a guy that would enjoy doing nothing for the rest of his life.
He gives me the impression he enjoys being smarter than everybody, though, too. And then he'd have the opportunity to impart his football knowledge on the masses. And when he and Romo were like coming into the industry at the same time, I might have even said it. I know I said it to probably Dan and Jason at one point. I might have said it to you at some point, too. My expectation was that Romo would take a little while to get accustomed to actually voicing a real opinion, because he never did it when he was a player, whereas Cutler doesn't care what anyone thinks, and he's super smart. And I thought Jay Cutler was going to be the one, as soon as he started doing it, that would take off like a rocket. Jay decided not to do it, and Romo has been like, he's suddenly the best game analyst in the industry, according to a lot of folks, at least.
I think he's fantastic. Yeah. Are you not a Romo fan?
No, I like it. I think, you know, the initial attention was a bit about, you know,
the predictive stuff.
Yeah, gimmick is a harsh word because it sounds more negative than I mean, but the fact that he could tell what play was coming, and because he's so knowledgeable about the sport of football, it's why quarterbacks are normally the ones who are game analysts. You don't see a lot of folks like me or Booger McFarlane, Dusty Dvorak, who get to call games, who are former defensive linemen, because D linemen really don't have to know what anyone else on the field does. Whereas quarterbacks, they're accustomed to communicating the game at a high level. You know, if you're attractive and you're QB, you throw them up in the booth, and it's a much smoother transition for them because they're accustomed to directing traffic, looking at all 22 guys at the same time, and being able to communicate that back to folks. D linemen, we really don't have to do that. So I would say with Romo, I'm impressed by his willingness not only to predict plays, because that's the part that really comes customary to the quarterback position, but his ability to display joy while doing it, which, you know, that part I think is slightly contrived on occasion, but it comes across well. He does it well enough. I use plenty of false enthusiasm when I'm on the air, so whatever.
That's good to know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right now I'm loathing this.
Yeah.
Joke. But when I'm on calling a game, though, like, you know, I'll do most of my college football off the Pac-12 network again this year, to be able to emote in a manner that suits the moment is a bit of a craft that you kind of have to figure out with a few swings and misses here and there, especially you're in a packed stadium. You got tens of thousands of people from the natural sound of the venue you're calling the game from. And then to assist that, you've also got your play-by-play next to you setting up the moment. Sometimes you just let the moment breathe. So there's a lot of mechanics to the art of calling the game. Like, I think we were texting or emailing a little bit about the clip from the Washington and Cincinnati preseason game where, you know, Joe Theismann is a guy who he's been in the industry for a long time. I never thought of him as a great game analyst. There was something that could have suited the moment mechanically that I think he could have pulled off at a higher level that he didn't really execute that well, I think.
That play, now that you brought it up, is a perfect encapsulation of why I think this was an egregious overreaction to the NFC Championship game by the NFL.
Guys, real fast, some news here Cubs-wise. Kinsler activated today, Norwood option. Everyone knew Kinsler was coming back. Other Cubs news, Addison Russell recalled, Albert Almora option to Iowa.
Wow. That, honestly, it's been a long time coming with Albert Almora. He's regressed so horribly offensively, and we mentioned it yesterday that it was crazy that he was leading off initially before Baez got scratched for being sick. I thought JD did a great job on the broadcast mentioning that Drew Smyly is exactly the type of lefty that Almora does profile out pretty well against, and he had the nice sharp hit, the two-out RBI in the Cubs' big inning. So I think that the Cubs were actually right in Almora's scouting report yesterday. But he's been so brutal offensively that he's a negative F-war player right now, meaning that his defense isn't even making him an above-replacement-level player. So he's going to take that very, very poorly, if I know anything about Albert Almora's personality, and I'd like to think that I do after doing weeklies with him last year and talking to him plenty off the air. But Addison Russell, Shep, you had the numbers yesterday. He had an OPS of what, 1160? Since he had been demoted to Iowa. So Addison Russell is hitting, and Albert Almora is not. That is big news for the Cubs.
For Almora and the way that he may end up kind of compartmentalizing this and seeing it as some sort of shot at him, I hope he ends up thriving in whatever ability he has to in AAA, because there was a stretch last season where he seemed like the future of the center field position for the Cubs. I mean, there was a stretch there going to the All-Star break. Was like, all right, is this guy going to be an All-Star right off the bat like this? This is another young, talented dude who everybody's trying to figure out, why isn't he in the lineup more? Why isn't he getting more plate appearances? He should be playing every day. And to relate it to the South side, I think, you know, part of the patience you see with some of the guys they're not bringing up there, part of it is the service time, obviously, but then also wanting them to go through some of the travails of what you miss at the minor league level and having those dips that you get at times. Almora is now experiencing what is a sizable dip in productivity at the major league level after for a while last season, till folks apparently got him figured out this year, where he looked like, man, this dude's going to be a star for years to come.
The thing is, the difference is with obviously the South Side, they're not trying to win right now. So you have the luxury of making decisions based on development. Right. The Cubs can't have a black hole in their lineup every day. So if Russell is back, Russell will play second base. And my guess is Ian Happ is your everyday center fielder based on how he's hitting. And
he's earned it.
And then you don't have to have Jason Hayward out of position in right. So it does solve some problems on paper. I'm just a little surprised they made the move, because they still have shown a consistent desire to have Almora in center field seventh inning and later in games where they're tied or slightly ahead as their ideal late inning defensive lineup. But they finally got to a breaking point with him offensively. I don't know how any Cubs fan, like emotionally, all Cubs fans love Albert Almora.
Yeah, right.
Nice guy, joyful, teammates love him, hair, good looking, family man. Everyone loves Albert Almora, but he just has regressed so horribly offensively that I don't know how you can justify it. So in a weird way, like, they got a little less likable with this team, with Addison Russell coming up and Almora going down. But I think on the field, they got undeniably better. We can keep reacting to that news. Anthony Herron in for Mac. It's Mac and Park.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Markets on the score.
No news right now, but his performance has been really good. He's playing very well. He's been very engaged, talking to the coaches. His engagement in the dugout and with the coaches has been outstanding. And that's, you know, certainly something that we've discussed. And, you know, part of his demotion was obviously some of those issues in the big leagues that were discussed on the show, talking about, you know, missing signs and things like that.
Yeah.
All that stuff has been really positive. You know, he's been engaging with his teammates and coaches and hitting well. And so I think I'm proud of him that, you know, he took this demotion and didn't sulk. He went down there and really performed. And, you know, that's a great thing for us.
It's Jed Hoyer with me yesterday. McNeil and Parkins on the score. Anthony Heron in. Addison Russell is back. And Albert Almora has been sent down to Iowa. Brandon Kinstler back as well. Papa John's is giving you a free pizza this weekend. Buy one pizza at regular price and get a second pizza of equal or less value for free. Use the promo code Free Pizza Day on the Papa John's app or online at papajohns.com. That's promo code Free Pizza Day. We had Anthony Heron, you are Anthony Heron. We had Albert Almora on the show weekly last season, and he's a really interesting guy. He is so competitive, and he's talked very openly about struggling with the failure that's inherent in the game. Mm. How he knows intellectually it's a game of failure. If you get a hit 3 times out of 10, you're going to the Hall of Fame, but that means you're not getting a hit 7 times out of 10. But even though he understands it, it still is really tough. Like, he talks about how he hates making the last out of games, and he made the last out of the season last year, and that really affected him heading into the offseason. We sat with him in the booth at Sloan Park. He got off the field in a spring training game after playing the first 4 innings, and he was sitting with us by the 5th inning and to do a 20-minute spring training spot. He's still in his uniform, and he was basically not making eye contact with Mac and I. It was before this season, after we did a full year of weeklies with him last year. He knows us, mm-hmm. and he's like, sorry. He knew his answers were kind of short. And he's like, sorry, guys, I'm just still locked in on the game. I'm like, bro, it's a spring training game. Like, relax a little bit.
Yeah.
So he's not good with failure, and no one loves failure, but in baseball, you've got to learn to deal with it. And we've talked to Theo about it, how they work with all of their players, like the mental skills approach on the team, and he agreed that, like, Almora, Hap, some of those guys are so intense at times to a fault where it can hurt him. And I wonder how he's going to deal with it. I'm sure he'll be back with the September call-ups, right, when you can have unlimited guys on the roster. So it won't be that long, 2-3 weeks. But I just wonder how this is going to hit him, and how, because we know Hap hated the demotion. Mm-hmm. So I wonder how Albert Almora is going to deal with this demotion.
And Hap had, you know, a full, well, over a half a season, really, to get his mind right about it and to start to play at the level that his gifts would allow him to play at. But early in the year, he's still striking out, still, you know, at the AAA level, not looking like a guy who has all kinds of talents to play at a high level at the major league level. Then eventually he got himself together and had a month of high-level play, and then he got called up. That's not what Albert Almora is going to have the potential to do. He's just going to have a few weeks of, finally, you know, by most estimates here, where folks have been waiting, wondering, wanting if he's going to get sent down. Now it's finally happened at this point, and so he's got a couple of weeks to get his mind wrapped around that thought, likely with the recognition that he is definitely coming back up here pretty soon, but he's going to be playing AAA ball for a few weeks until that happens. That's something that can screw with a guy's head.
Yeah, and we didn't talk about it much as an option, even though he was one of the guys who had options, just because of his defensive value in center field. So I just didn't think that he'd be the guy to go. I honestly thought that David Bote would be, if you were going to do a surprising demotion, I thought that Bote maybe would be more likely than Almora. Because, like I said, he's a better defensive player, but I guess his numbers finally caught up to him. This is Addison Russell since being demoted for not knowing the signs and having one of the worst big league games I've ever seen a player have mentally. So this is July 30th through August 15th. 52 at-bats, 17 hits for a .326 batting average, 4 home runs, slugging .634, 6 walks, 3 hit-by-pitches, amounting to a .426 OBP. So that is an OPS of about 1,050. And 3 of those 4 home runs have come in the last 5 games. In the last 4 games, he had 3 home runs in a row, August 11th, 12th, and 13th. So he is hitting the ball very well, albeit with a 0-for-4 yesterday.
And the Cubs' defense, it was struggling throughout the first half, pre-All-Star break. And now, and I'd have to look at some recent numbers to know for sure, but I don't feel like defensively, you know, the Bodhi error last night notwithstanding, I don't feel like defensively has been the main concern or the main issue coming out of the All-Star break at home. They've obviously been fine. Away, they've been one of the worst teams in baseball. And in the road games, there was a stretch there with starting pitching, was doing great. It's been the bullpen, whether it's because it's taxed or via injury or all of the above, where the bullpen's been letting them down. And offensively has been a major part of the concern. So I think having Almora stay at the major league level, essentially strictly because of defense, as a late-game substitute, I suppose you could make an argument for it. But you can make the same argument for Addison Russell, who's been hitting the ball much better for a month now.
Absolutely. They need Addison Russell's offense, and last night was a great example. I mean, your normal up-the-middle defense is supposed to be Contreras, Baez, Russell,
right,
Almora in center field. Last night, it's Caratini, Bodhi, Happ, and now Almora's in the minors. So you get Russell back, you get Baez over this illness, hopefully you get Contreras back in a couple of weeks, then all of a sudden you're going to start to resemble a better defensive team, and it might not matter at all if they can't figure out how to win on the road. I want to talk to you about risk assessment in football coming up. Anthony Herron in for Mac. It's Mac and Parkins on the Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.